How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. I am back here on the show today, and a lot to talk about coming off the SummerSlam weekend. If you want to talk more about the big show, I wasn't here yesterday. I presume everybody did, but you can tell me your thoughts here today as well. We've also got Raw from last night, plus the SmackDown show coming up tonight. Lots of things to talk about. And let's not waste any time, because injuries are the story of the day. Big Cass suffered a knee injury during a street fight against former partner Enzo Amore Raw Monday night. Amore was on the floor. Cass went for a big boot. Amore held the ropes down, sending Cass to the floor. Cass got back in the ring, favoring the knee. His leg buckled, trying to deliver the Empire elbow, rolled out of the ring, visibly upset, yelling out expletives while slapping the ropes. WWE confirmed the injury on their website. He'll be getting an MRI today. When we have the results, we'll let you know, but probably not good would be my guess. Also, Asuka, NXT Women's Champion, suffered a broken right collarbone in her title defense over Ember Moon on Saturday night at the TakeOver event in Brooklyn. WWE reported the injury today, saying Jeffrey Westerfield, this was a couple days ago, who attended to her, said the typical recovery time from such an injury is 6 to 8 weeks. During the match, she landed awkwardly from a throw from Ember Moon, was able to complete the match but had notable pain and discomfort, he said. We performed an initial ultrasound backstage, highly suspicious of a break that was later confirmed by an X-ray. WWE has made no announcement regarding the status of the championship, which he has now held for over 500 days. With the time frame out, he said that, it's looking like, she could be ready by the November TakeOver show. And boy, do I have something to say about that, which we'll talk about when we come back from the break. Mike Sempervive joins us as well, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervive, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot to talk about here today, but I must begin with this right here. So in the opening segment, I talked about Asuka and her injury. She suffered a broken right collarbone. She broke her collarbone, which is a very, very painful injury. And of course, she's Asuka. She finished the match. And now they believe that she'll be out an estimated 6 to 8 weeks. She'll be back in time for the November TakeOver, it's looking like. Now listen to me. We're going to talk religion here on the show, but this is the Lord now alerting WWE that they need to drop this Mae Young Classic 1 week at a time. No binge watching. I mean, how could you have a clearer message than this? It's perfect. So instead of dropping 4 shows and then another 4 shows and demanding everybody rush through all of these shows so they could do a finale in 2 weeks, hey, one show every week, then you get a winner, and by that time, Asuka will be back to face the winner. It's perfect! Can we not do this now? Am I wrong about this? Otherwise, you rush 4 weeks of Mae Young Classic in a 7-day period, you rush another 4 weeks in a 7-day period, then you have the finale, and then everybody just sits around waiting because you can't do anything till Asuka comes back. Never has a message been more clear from the Almighty. The day after, the day of, I might add, the eclipse. Just want to throw that out there.
Yes.
It's patently obvious what needs to be done here. I mean, it's so patently obvious. The celestial, once-in-a-lifetime eclipse. I had another idea, by the way. Got a lot to say since I've been gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's... So, I'm watching this thing. This match with Asuka and Ember.
Yeah.
And, you know, Asuka won.
Uh-huh.
So, I've been thinking, you know, what they should have done is Asuka should have won somehow. Now, this wouldn't work with the broken collarbone, but it was what I was thinking the other day. I was like, Asuka could have won, but something could have been just a little bit screwy. And so they would announce that the next day, on Monday, outside the Barclays Center, at 1 o'clock, they were going to do the rematch under the eclipse. And when the eclipse hit near totality, Ember would hit her eclipse once in a lifetime, and she would beat Asuka. Would that not be something nobody would ever forget? Of course they didn't do that. Nobody thinks about these once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. Like this one right here of releasing the Mae Young Classic 1 week at a time, so it would time perfectly with the return of Asuka. But I'm speaking to a brick wall right here, like I do every day here on this show. Anyway, would you like to add anything, Mike?
Did you spend most of your time in Vegas, at least the time that was spent not turning on Tom Lawler, did you spend that time like on a Reddit message board for Total Extreme Warfare?
What are you talking about? I spent the whole time just chilling out with my homies. It's great.
What? Okay.
Yeah, what are you talking about? What are nothing, you on about?
Nothing. I have nothing to add to that other than... What that does lead to, though, is not having Asuka come up to the main roster and vacate the belt, although I guess you could still do that. What it leads to is the winner of the Mae Young Classic and the winner of the Scramble to see who will be the next to face off against Asuka, since she has blown through so many of her opponents already so far. Who will be that next person to face her? And that, I think, is actually somewhat of a drawback, just because I was a big fan of the idea of Asuka just going up undefeated to the main roster and leaving everyone on their own to now scurry about with themselves and anybody that's new who comes in from the Mae Young Classic to fight it out over that belt. That looks like now that goes out the window, because the timing is too perfect. If she's going to be back in time for TakeOver, you got to do a match with her and Kairi Sane or Toni Storm or whoever it is that it's going to be. Maybe it's somebody that's already been there, but I wouldn't figure they would go in that direction.
If Kairi Sane wins the Mae Young Classic, then she's the only one where I would okay, if this were my company, Asuka being defeated.
What if you get a really look, what if you are actually dead serious about attaching somewhat of an NXT rocket to Shayna Baszler? Do you
no,
do it then?
I wouldn't do it. It's got to be Kairi, because they would have a blowaway match. She's super charismatic. She's a great worker. She's like the only one that I can see being on the level of Asuka to beat her. Anybody else, it's going to be like, it's not going to be exactly like Nash beating Goldberg, because that was stupid on 1,000 levels, including the way they did it in the finish. I mean, there's not going to be a cattle prod beating Asuka, I don't think. But anybody else, I mean, you could see it. I don't want to say I told you so, but you could see it on Sunday or Saturday.
But
When Ember Moon came out and they're doing the ring intros and she's booed. And they cheered Asuka, they booed Ember. I mean, it was a great match. It's possible the match was so great that if Ember would have won, they would have accepted it. But I don't think so. I think they would have booed the finish out of the building. I just think it wasn't right. She's not the right girl.
It would be that way for anybody. It would
not
be that
Kairi.
Way for, with the okay, with the one exception of her, because they have the history and everything else, you can tie into that, absolutely. But that's going to be the same way with everybody, because she's not a babyface or a heel. She's Asuka. And, you
You're
know,
right.
She's a...
That's why I said it can only be Kairi. Otherwise, she needs to vacate.
The NXT female John Cena. I mean, she is just an untouchable type of force, the reaction that she gets from people, and the amount of charisma that she has. So it'll be interesting to see when she does come up to the main roster, exactly, since we have seen so many come up and at flounder, mostly at best, what exactly is going to happen with her.
She's not even the John Cena, she's the Goldberg. Like, when they brought back Goldberg, and Goldberg was, like, so popular, and he was so over, and they ended up, like, extending his deal and giving him the run all the way through Mania. I mean, who do you think the fans would have accepted beating Goldberg other than a guy who was just as big and mighty as he was? Like Kevin Owens? You think the fans would have accepted Kevin Owens beating Goldberg? Or what are some of the... Miz? I'm trying to think of just heels.
Yeah, the Miz, thank
these,
you.
These all would have died. There was one guy that the fans would have been okay with beating Goldberg, and it was Lesnar. And you've got to find... I hate to say it because, you know, a lot of times... The whole idea of trying to create another John Cena with a John Cena, like, it never works.
You can't do that.
But in this example, the only person who can beat Asuka is another Asuka.
You need a Lady Braun is what you need right there.
That's
because
right.
The only one people are accepting right now to face off against Brock Lesnar is the Mighty Braun. You need another Braun. You need a Lady Braun. Can Kairi Sane be that Lady Braun?
And yes, I did turn on Filthy.
I bet.
What do you mean, you bet?
It is Vegas.
Everybody's seen it. If you haven't, I'll retweet
it. I bet. It's also Vegas.
But Dave agreed with me.
Uh-huh.
I think that's an important part of this.
Really?
Yep.
Really, Brian?
Yep, he did.
Really?
He agreed
You're
with me.
You're a scummy person.
On the Sunday show.
You owed him that $10. Dave doesn't know the whole story. Dave hasn't been following
this.
You are, no, bull.
Okay.
You are exactly just like you. Just like you to turn this around on a guy. Dave is not following the story on a regular basis. He has no idea what is going on. He is only taking your side of it and listening to it from just that point of view. And I think if he had that other side, if he would listen to Filthy, if he would understand.
Listen to Filthy. I'll tell you exactly what happened. The facts. Okay? Filthy was reviewing Impact every week. Then he stopped. I said, you've given up on the show, haven't you? He said, no, I'm still watching it. I said, no, you're not. I'll bet you $10 you don't watch it next week. So he watched it the next week.
And then
he never watched it again because he had quit. That's the key. He had quit, but he watched it to get $10. So at the end of the day, as Dave noted, I was right. He quit.
No.
So he didn't earn his
$10. You bet that he wouldn't watch it the next week, and he did. That's his money.
I said, I bet you quit.
Then why'd you give it to him, Brian? Then why'd you give it to him?
I gave it to him because he knew you were wrong. Shut up about it.
Because he knew you were wrong.
Nope.
Alternative facts with Brian Alvarez.
Anyway, when we come back from the break, we got a lot of people on the line. I know some of them were in Las Vegas. We can talk about the convention. You should go next year, everybody. Trust me, you should go next year.
Kick you in the face.
And a lot of news and emails, texts as well. So stick around. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live. We're back in the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A lot to talk about here today. Last night on Raw, they made it official that it is, in fact, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, coming up at the next pay-per-view, which sounds awesome if you watch the SummerSlam show. Main event was great. What did everyone think about that show, by the way? Did everyone agree with me or what? Great stuff was great. Bad stuff was terrible. I thought that was fair. There was some terrible stuff on that show. No. But there was some great stuff on that show as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to John. John is on the air. I can only imagine what he's got to say here today. John, hello, my friend.
Well, hello, Brian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Oh, recovering from the weekend, having to have one of the greatest moments in my life, Brian. I finally met him.
You did finally meet him. I was there.
Yes. Too bad. No, Mike, let me tell you something, how bad this geek was. I told him to get your camera out and take the moment that you take the picture for me. And what did the geek do? He forgot to take his picture.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because the picture that you got on the board was the tame version of the picture of the meeting between me and the greatest man, the greatest pro wrestler to ever graduate from Buffalo High School.
Wait a second now, the tame picture. So there was a live picture that took place right before that. What was happening in that picture that Brian missed out on and that we have all missed out on because Brian was lazy on the draw?
Now, there's pictures all over the place of this. I mean, if you want, all you do is take the picture that's out there and extend it out for 10 minutes while he hung on to Vinny, and Vinny just was more and more uncomfortable with each passing second.
Which, that's pretty great right there.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Too bad you missed the karaoke bar that we had. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, I heard Vinny. What did he sing? Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Oh, Jesus.
No. It was My Heart Would Go by Celine Dion.
Actually, I do. I am sad I missed that now.
Okay, no, you missed that one. And let's see. I met Wayne, literally can say this about this, folks. Wayne is truly what you see is what you get with Wayne.
Yep.
Geek.
And I thought I couldn't believe it. But Wayne is really truly himself as he was on the radio.
Yeah, he's exactly.
And I told him that, and he was.
Wayne himself. That's his new name.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is true. What you see is what you get. That is absolutely true. That's why I chose him.
So my goal is this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to meet two more people. Well, three, but two to come to the convention next year. Oh, yeah, I'm coming back next year. I want to meet you, Mike.
Mm.
Come on, Mike. I want to meet you in person.
All right.
And I want to meet crash on the board.
Oh, that's a new one.
That's a new one. But I really, really want to meet Britt Kremen to see how bad could this guy be.
Well,
that is my girl.
John, listen. I want to thank you very much for the call. We'll be here all day if you keep going here. I really appreciate
it. You've got to have
goals.
That's the
right.
One thing I know. You got to have goals in life.
It was great to meet you, John. It was great to meet everybody. We had a wonderful time at the convention.
And you molest Vinny, so if you go, so you know that is truly the case. If you want to wrap your big paws around Vinny V, there you go. And you can be like John in Memphis. Vinny V's number one fan dreams truly do come true at the F4W convention.
I told all you guys to get out there. I don't know if Mike's going to make it out there or Crash. Or I know for sure Brent's not going to make it out there, but you really should go next year, everybody. We'll give you plenty of warning, so start saving your money now. I mean, Vegas is cheap, but it's also very expensive. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on how you want to spend your money.
Ed,
the flights are cheap. The rooms were cheap. The gambling is not cheap. Yeah.
How about the women?
Don't talk about Ed. All right, here we go. Some text messages here, then we'll continue on. Do you think Nakamura will get a run with the world title? Well, at some point, yes, because virtually everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to warn everybody about SummerSlam. And you know what? I got to get this off my chest. When this guy won the title, I had to put up with so much on social media. Everybody, the irony of him winning the title, they thought it was so funny. I can't wait to hear Brian's meltdown. Oh, this is so great. He's the champion now, Jinder Mahal. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. I heard over and over again. Well, here we are. He beat Nakamura clean in the middle with his botched finish. He's still the champion. He's been the champion for months now. And I don't want to hear one complaint. I don't want to hear one complaint. You got what you asked for. You thought it was so funny. I tried to tell you, but no one would listen to me. You got what you had coming to you. And so if now you're angry, if you thought it was so funny, oh, it's just going to be a short term. Oh, someone else will win it. No, he's going to be champion for a long time. And if you don't like it, too bad. I don't want to even hear it. I don't want to hear any complaints about this. I want everyone to just go enjoy it like you enjoyed it the day it happened. Keep enjoying it. Because it's not changing anytime soon. Person says, didn't you let Wang know how dangerous it is to jump the rail during a professional wrestling event?
No.
Well, yes. But we had a plan.
Mm.
We had a plan.
Yeah, see, what a good person you are.
I am a good person.
You're slimy. You're just
I made Wang into a
person.
Superstar. I've changed his life forever.
Oh, my God. He'll still be trading out his EBT card later on today. Give me a break.
Person says the crowd was atrocious last night. No way hardcore fans would care about a beach ball. No way hardcore fans would care more about a beach ball than Balor. But they did. That's the point. They did.
That's what sucked. They fell into entertaining themselves.
And it wasn't even Balor. It was Jordan. That was the problem.
But Balor was there too.
But he was having a match with Jason Jordan that everybody knew exactly what was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened.
But still, again, this one falls squarely on the fans. There's nothing else you can do, and it does. I take that back. It also falls on WWE and Cesaro to a lesser extent, but WWE for continuing to hype it and note it. I mean, this is what you get sometimes, unfortunately, when you glorify this stuff. It's one of the reasons that they don't let, and they don't film people running onto the field. We all know what happens. We'll all see footage of it at this point with cell phones and things like that. But don't put it in anybody's mind to continue on to do it other shows, because obviously that was the case last night.
They just got to ban beach balls. It's the only. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, how do you ban beach balls? I mean, they're the easiest thing to sneak in. You deflate them, you blow them up, you throw them around. I mean, annoying, but I mean, that's what happens.
You got to check for either an inflated ball, or you got to check and see if people bring in a pump.
Oh, yeah, how do you figure they're going to do that one?
To see if they brought in a pump? Dude, I've gone to a million shows. They search you like crazy. They look in your bag. They do the whole nine yards.
Brian, you'd have to do like a hardcore pat-down search, for God's sakes. I mean, it's not like the wand that'll pick up the gun,
No, but
or the knife or something
ball,
like that.
A beach ball pump is fairly significant sized.
A beach ball pump?
Yeah, it's bigger than a beer can.
You can blow up a beach ball with your mouth. What do you need a beach ball pump for? You're not pumping up a mag.
I'd forgotten about all your hot air.
I apologize, everybody.
I was wrong.
Hey, if your kids want to have no stamina doing jujitsu, send them to Brian Alvarez.
What are you talking about? You can't blow up a beach ball with your mouth. It requires a pump. Are you kidding me?
Are you? All right.
This person says, you're right about SummerSlam. The good stuff was great. The problem with the bad stuff was no suspense, bland finishes. Every match on TakeOver had a lot of suspense. All the finishes had people on the edge of their seat.
It was the worst of WWE. It was the best of WWE. It was the worst of WWE. And Shane McMahon doing title switches just to have title switches. There were plenty of things that took place that, again, when they strike out hard, and it's really annoying because the shows are long and all of the negativity that's attached to it. And when things are good, like the main event, like with Braun and Brock, you know, that sort of stuff, the tag match, the tag title match, the unification of Ambrose and Rollins together to give them something to do, the same way they gave Cesaro and Sheamus something to do, that's been a good fit for everybody involved. When things are good, they're good, but man, their bad stuff is bad.
Well, here's the thing. It's unfair to compare NXT and SummerSlam because NXT had 5 matches. SummerSlam had 13. So if we went in on Sunday, and here's the new SummerSlam card. Everybody ready? Neville versus Tozawa. Usos versus The New Day. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins versus Cesaro and Sheamus. AJ versus Kevin Owens. And Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, and Samoa Joe. Do you know what a great SummerSlam that would have been?
Possibly the greatest pay-per-view of all time.
If you take the 5 best matches, and those are the only ones on the show, then yeah, it's awesome. If you had NXT TakeOver, and they said, we're going to do 13 matches, and we're going to have the Velveteen Dream's going to wrestle some green guy, and Peyton Royce is going to wrestle some green girl.
And we're just none, by the way, with a targeted build in the same way you were able to build 5.
We're just going to add 7 random developmental matches to NXT TakeOver. Do you think people would be raving about TakeOver the way they did? I mean, they'd
Tino
still talk
Sabatelli?
About... Yeah, they'd still talk about how the great matches were great, but it'd be much. It's a much more fair comparison to SummerSlam if you do an NXT TakeOver with 13 matches and a bunch of random feuds on the undercard. Yeah, the SummerSlam would have been great if you would have got rid of 7 matches.
Yeah,
but
can
they
you
didn't.
Imagine what NXT would have looked like? Who would have been the Miz to run out of the ring and argue with the one reporter that was, or the one fan that was in the crowd? Who would have deserved that role? Could you put No Way Jose out there just dancing with one fan in the crowd?
I've seen that, and actually you could.
He's really good, actually.
This person says, not sure if this has been asked or if it's a sensitive question, but why does Wang wear a hat all the time? Because he's an idiot. He showed up in Vegas with 5 hats and a hat carrier.
You always got to put a hat on your Wang.
Do you know how many times I saw a day where he wore 2 different hats over the course of a day? Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Semper Vivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Had a quick note here from somebody on Twitter. Is it true that Minoru Suzuki is coming to Ring of Honor? The answer is yes. Never Open Weight Champion Minoru Suzuki will have his first United States match in 25 years next month, scheduled for the Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view and subsequent TV taping September 22nd and 23rd in Las Vegas. Hey, tickets to Las Vegas are cheap if you want to go.
That's awesome.
New Japan announced Suzuki and Kushida is appearing for ROH for these dates, noting they will leave the September New Japan tour after the September 16th show in Hiroshima to head to the U.S. So there you go. If you're a big fan of Suzuki, now's your chance.
Wouldn't want to see him in any other place. It seems to be perfect, him coming to Las Vegas. I can see him just like, you know, Minoru, you ever want to go to the States? He blows them off every single time. Minoru, we're going to take you to Las Vegas. I'm in. How great is that going to be? How great is it going to be? Because he's great with Instagram anyway and putting his pictures out there. You know, for as maniacal as he is in the ring, he's a very entertaining person. I can only imagine him on the streets of Las Vegas. Can we get him matched up with Filthy Tom Lawler? Can we have that happen?
Filthy Tom Lawler.
Do you know him, Brian? You turned on him a couple days ago. You should
know about him. Oh, that's right. You're correct.
You going to do a show with Filthy Tom, by the way, coming up? Because I'm sure that's an episode of Filthy Four Daily people are really going to be looking forward to. Or as he still choked on the Hamilton that you shoved in his mouth and he's going to be unable to do the show.
Well, I can tell you that I'm a professional, as I noted on Twitter.
Mm.
This person says, Mike, is Asuka the best female wrestler in the world?
Yeah, I'll go with that. I guess it all depends on what you like, but I don't know who combines a better package of everything, and on top of everything else, she broke the language barrier. Sure, she can speak a little bit of English, but promos in this country are so very, very important nowadays, and they have been forever in wrestling, but especially now more than ever, especially in WWE and NXT, where the show comes first. And she blew a hole right through that. She looks pretty much great against everybody. She can match up well against everybody. So, yeah, I think she's, you know, certainly, you know, she's not number one. You know, she's got to be top two, right? I mean, who else is it really going to be? Who else are you going to throw out there?
This person says, Samoa Joe looked pretty awesome last night. Well, he looks awesome every night. With his history with John Cena and how they came up together, will WWE give us a program between the two? Hope there's no wacky Cena like last night. Well, eventually I'm sure they're going to do a program, but from watching Raw last night, it looks like they're going to do Roman Reigns, John Cena, maybe at the next pay-per-view. And I am thinking, my gut feeling is that Miz and Jason Jordan, which was a scheduled program, I mean, they still kind of teased it last night with Jordan. He wanted a match with Miz, and Angle said he was busy. I'm thinking that may end up being a TV match, and they may end up going with Miz and Samoa Joe. But I don't know for sure. I know that originally it was going to be the Miz and Jason Jordan, but Jordan is not getting over. And I'm wondering if they're about to pull the plug on this plan.
I wish they just do the double turn with Joe and Roman. It does not like, and they don't even have to do it directly with each other. You can do it in forms with other people being involved. But just get that out of the way, because I think people are dying to cheer for Joe anyway. And they obviously, Roman Reigns is what he is, but you know, why not just go in that direction? You know, God only knows, and Vince only knows.
First says, Brian, you did say that you would bet him $10 he wouldn't watch Impact. He did. He won the bet. The fact that Mike is siding with his sworn enemy is saying something.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you know,
whose side are you on, Mike? Come on.
Well, the people and the common man. And, you know, you're holding that over his head. It's not like Tom's working right now, right? Is he fighting right now? No. Some things have occurred. He's out of a job. He could use that $10. He's got kids. My God, he's got kids.
What are you talking about?
And you're holding this up over his head.
He's working every weekend. He's all over the country. He's a big star.
Dude, it's not about what you make. It's about what you save. And he needs to save every little last bit. He doesn't know what his future's going to be.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, no, but you held it over his head and you tortured him about it and you rubbed it in his face, and you're just like every other kind of stinking boss out there that rubs it in, you know, and holds it, dangles it over their people's head. And then to go out there and do what you did by setting up this plan against him and kicking him in the face in his hometown, on his show, on a show that was put together and promoted to feature you, to do that, I think is a disgusting act.
This person says, I can sneak in a beach ball in my back pocket. You can blow it up with your mouth, no pump needed.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You can, Brian.
Well,
yes,
you know what? You know what? They just throw out the fans in like they did last night. Ejected from the show they spent all that money on. So that's the way things go. Let's go to Phil in California. Phil, what is going on?
Hey, what's up, Brian? I just wanted to talk to you guys about the importance of giving a guy, Andrade specifically, a title reign before he possibly gets integrated into the main roster. You look at guys like Tyler Breeze and Ty Dillinger who, you know, definitely get heat and get over, but if you don't get that title reign, in a sense, you're almost looked at as a mid-card NXT person, and I'd say that you don't get as much potential momentum as someone like Nakamura or, Samoa Joe or everyone else got who held the main title. So do you think that it is in a very important thing to get Andrade that title run before he gets integrated into the main roster?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Funny you should ask that question. I don't know. I'm not saying this is a guarantee, but I know they have talked about adding a secondary men's title to NXT. Maybe it would be like a television title or something like that. They're rather old
Florida
school.
State heavyweight title?
Sure, yeah. The Florida State title, why not? They're old school in the sense that this is not like Vince McMahon's Raw today, where Neville wins on Monday, or loses Monday, wins Saturday. The New Day wins on the last pay-per-view, they lose it here. They're changing titles like crazy, is my point. The NXT title usually stays in the guy for a long time, and you got a lot of guys that are going through there, and a lot of guys that are going to get called up. Not everybody can get the title. Most guys, the majority of them, can't get the title, which is the way that it should be. But you could have a secondary title that is not quite as coveted, but it is something that in NXT can always be the semi-main event. It can be looked at like the old Intercontinental title, a stepping stone to the main title. I mean, it's very easy to do that the way that NXT is currently structured. So I don't know if they're going to do it. I know they've talked about it, and I hope they do it.
Remember, Bo Dallas was an NXT champion, so you don't necessarily benefit directly from holding on to that title when you move up to the main roster. Of course, it depends on how you're perceived when you're up on the main roster, too. But, you know, that's not the worst idea, is having a TV title or some sort of newly named belt where you get to see that belt defended every week or whenever that person wrestles on TV, and you can hold off your Bobby Roode or Nakamura or whoever's got the title at the time. It will make that title match mean a little bit more if it happens to take place on a house show somewhere, if you want to hype that up or something like that, or when it comes to the takeover shows.
Well, let's go to Jim in Virginia. Jim, what's going on?
How you doing today, Brian?
What's happening?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
They all missed you.
I heard you were a bad boy, though, you know, doing Filthy Tom Lawler like you did, though.
Well, that's the rumor, but I disagree vehemently.
Okay. Now, let's get back to the wrestling. After SummerSlam...
Not what you ever did, Brian.
Get out of here, Mike. Go ahead, Jim.
Me and you and Mike was talking about the chances of Carmella and James coming out there and screwing whoever won the match out of the title, you know, with the Money in the Bank, is it Natalya or Naomi? Well, we all know they didn't do that on Sunday. Do you think they might try to do something like on those lines tonight on SmackDown?
I don't even want to predict. I mean, you got to think, like, they had been building forever the idea that Carmella was going to cash in on the winner. They didn't do anything. The Baron Corbin thing just kind of came out of nowhere on Tuesday, cashed in and failed. I mean, obviously, that was probably a last-minute change of plans. I mean, the Tozawa title win on Monday was absolutely a last-minute change of plans. I mean, if you've watched the TV over the last 2 years, it doesn't seem like Natalya is going to be a long-term women's champion. It seems like that was done to set up Carmella stealing the belt from her.
It's a dumb idea, then.
But who knows? I mean, maybe they just decided, you know what? We want some good work in championship matches, so Natalya's the best worker, so she's the champion until Charlotte gets back or whatever.
But it's like, you know, Naomi had the longest reign with that belt since they brought it back or named it the SmackDown Women's title or whatever it is. You know, that's supposed to mean something, too. They did the same thing on Raw, where it's like, they had Alexa Bliss was at 112 days. Charlotte's record is 113. They've never mentioned it, but it's like, all of a sudden, they have Sasha beat Alexa for the title. Why? Just to do it. I mean, they did both of those moves just to do it. Isn't Carmella taking the belt off of Naomi? Doesn't that mean more considering how this feud has been built up and how they've played it for so long? It just seems to be a waste or at least a cheap way to keep a storyline going. And I just, to me, this one didn't make any sense.
I was watching the bracketology for the Mae Young Classic the other day. And I was very impressed with the job that Corey Graves did on it. I thought he was very good, him and Lita there. And, you know, he had Medusa or Linda Blaze come in there and then Triple H. I thought it was a very well put together show, interviewing the girls and showing the brackets and everything, especially your interviews with your Jazzy Gabbert or Alpha Females. We all know who and the different girls, you know. I thought it was a really good program. What did y'all think of it?
Hey, with Brian Stann now retired, it is no question. I don't think there's anybody close to Corey Graves as far as being the best announcer when it comes to having a canvas matter. Yes, there is Mauro Ranallo too. I don't want to badmouth Mauro or anything like that, but like Corey Graves, even listening to him during Raw last night, play off of Booker and Cole and everything. I mean, they're a mess sometimes, but at least sometimes it's an entertaining mess, and he is so good no matter what situation they put him in, whether it be, you know, in a cold situation with Lita, just with cameras right there, or out live in front of people.
Jim, I want to thank you very much for the call.
All right.
Yeah, thanks so much. So a lot of people have been texting me about this. Enzo More on Twitter.
Oh, God, what happened?
All right. So he says, "You're never defeated when you lose, yo. You're defeated when you quit. Ed, big Cass, you have been defeated." And he calls him soft. And hashtag, oh, there's a hashtag I'm not going to read here. He says, "First thing I threw at you was a crutch. Should have taken it and limped your buttocks out. What happened? Zoe finally got the chair and you wanted a seat." I'm trying to interpret all of this, but basically he's burying the guy. He says, "I looked down at my leg in the ring at WWE NXT and saw my Jordan backwards. Hashtag fact. I got 9 screws, a plate, and a rod in my leg. Didn't quit." Although he does say at the very end, "Even after all you've done, proven how soft you are, I honestly hope you're okay. I ain't 7 feet, but I'm too big of a man to accept that W."
Look, he's a heel. They're making him a heel. That's it.
He just buried the guy and then he goes, "I do hope you're all right."
I see. You know what, though? And look, he was upset last night. You could tell when it happened. You know, I just am assuming this is them saying, go out there and say that. Go out there and be that and do that. I cannot see this guy being a babyface. You can still have him cut the 10-minute promo out there getting heat. I don't know how you continue on week after week after week with how he's perceived to put him out there as a babyface every week. It blows my mind.
Well, that's what he apparently is. Apparently, we've been having streaming problems, but this will be up on the main page if you happen to hear this right now. What are your thoughts on the crowds for SummerSlam and Raw? We've talked about that quite a bit. Corey Graves defended the beach ball, by the way. Corey Graves, of all people.
Well, yeah, it slipped up.
What is he thinking?
Yeah, him and Cena.
Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Hey, Dan, with sad news today, but this from TMZ.com. Bodybuilding superstar Dallas McCarver, a.k.a. Big Country, has died after apparently choking on food at his Florida home, TMZ Sports has learned. We spoke with McCarver's girlfriend, WWE superstar Dana Brooke, who says the 26-year-old was found unconscious just after midnight Tuesday morning by a friend at his home, shortly after they spoke on the phone. McCarver was transported to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ Sports there appears to be no sign of foul play. Brooke says McCarver told her he was about to make dinner. The last thing he said to her was, "I love you, goodbye." Brooke says the cause of death is believed to be choking on food. It does not appear McCarver was trying to harm himself. More on that up at TMZ.com. And all over the place, actually. New York Daily News, tons of media outlets. So, very sad story. Best wishes to Dana Brooke. And we'll have more on this, I'm sure, over the course of the day and tomorrow. We're totally out of time here, everybody. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Got a lot of stuff coming up. You can always check out more at WrestlingObserver.com. There's so much news up there. Tons of radio shows. If you're a fan of audio, you can always head up there and grab the latest shows, as well as every show we've ever done, dating back to 2005. 12 years, 8,000 shows, all available in the archives immediately when you sign up. So head up there and check that out. I want to thank Mike, as always, for all of the hard work over the last 5 days that I was gallivanting in Las Vegas. And, of course, the fantastic, fabulous producer, Dom, who always does an amazing job on this program.
You better pay me. I ain't Tom.
And, of course, all of you. I'll be back again next time. Wrestling Observer Live.